Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is the 50th chapter of Genesis. This is the very last chapter in the book of Genesis. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this message. Father, we thank and praise your holy name, for we know that it's appointed unto all men that we have to die. And we can see the reality of life in the book of Genesis. We've learned a lot from this, and we know going into the book of Exodus that it's even going to be better. So, Lord, show us the way that we have to live so that we can have a favorable death. Bless this chapter. Bless it into our spirits and to the minds of our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen. Chapter 50, King James Version, verse 1. And Joseph fell upon his father's face.
Okay. Israel just died right after he gave the blessings and some of the curses to his sons. And when he did, this is the continuation, so read the first part again.
And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him.
Keep going.
And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days.
That's 70 days they mourned for him. This is what happens when somebody that is great dies. There's a 70-day mourning period. All right, and the Egyptians are very famous for their embalming. We can see that today when we've seen pictures of mummies that have been there for thousands of years, and they still look in pretty good shape. They spend 40 days embalming a body. And whether they do, I don't know, they do that with everybody. They did the pharaohs and people like Israel and Joseph, they did. And what else?
Commentary, verse 1 through 3. Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph told his morticians to embalm the body. The embalming process took 40 days.
In the funeral parlors today, they might take a half hour to an hour on you, and you're disintegrated probably within a month or two afterwards. Then what else?
And there was a period of national mourning for 70 days.
So this, you know, it's good to be in the house of mourning rather than it is to be in the house of laughter or mirth. Because mirth or laughter, what doeth it? What does it do? But we know that we're going to come to a final end one of these days, and it's good to read the Bible because it tells of the reality of life. It tells how these people lived and how they died. And that's, you know, every one of us has a story. Every one of us has a life, and we have a death. And we have an eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell, then the lake of fire. So we have to live according to the way the Bible tells us to live, and to shun the way that the Bible tells us to shun. It's not going to do anybody any good to crack up or to go into a tailspin or to get offended at anything. Blessed is he that is not offended in me, the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
You get offended with the Lord or the ones that the Lord puts over you, or you get offended with anyone to the point to where you get bitter and you die with bitterness in your heart, you're not going to heaven. Because the same spirit that's in you right now is the same spirit that's either going to heaven or hell. The same attitude that you have now. Ask yourself if the attitude that you have would fit into heaven. Or ask yourself if the same attitude that you have would fit better into hell. Then you'll know what you have to do in order to get your soul right with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Before you die, and you have to hurry up because we never know whether we're going to die today or tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
Or in the middle of the night. So these are somber things that come to my mind anyway, when I read the Bible. And it's good, you know, when these things hit your heart for you to expound about it to people, because it's a reproof of that, where human lives We're just sperm that grew up, or fetuses that grew up. And so a good fetus that's grown up does what the Lord wants them to do. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, a bad fetus does whatever the Lord doesn't want you to do. He does what the devil wants you to do. And as far as this fetus wants to go to heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
This grown-up fetus. All right? Now, it's putting a little rare or blunt, you know, but I like for things to stick in people's brains like the hairs in a drain. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 4. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. And all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen.
They were left. They didn't go with them because they knew they were going to come back. And that gave the Pharaoh an assurance that Joseph would be back because that he left their children there and their herds, right, and their sheep, their flocks. All right, then now the commentary.
Commentary verse 4 through 8. When the period of mourning was over, Joseph approached Pharaoh's advisers and asked them to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. He told them, quote, Tell Pharaoh that my father made me swear an oath.
Well, why did Joseph have to send one of his servants over there? Well, it's because of the fact that to the Egyptians, it's an abomination to talk to anybody that has touched a dead body. And Joseph had done that, and so he was respectful to the Egyptian code or their code of ethics to not go and speak with the Pharaoh because he had just fallen on his father's body and in mourning. And that's why Joseph had somebody of his servants to go to speak to Pharaoh. Otherwise, he would have gone. He's always gone before. Amen?
Amen?
So this had to be the reason, all right? When you meditate on the word of the Lord, you can get what the reasoning is from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Verse 5, he told them, quote, Tell Pharaoh that my father made me swear an oath. He said to me, I'm about to die. Take my body back to the land of Canaan and bury me in our father's burial cave. Unquote. Now I need to go and bury my father. After his burial is complete, I will return without delay. Unquote.
Well, they didn't have to dig because it was a cave. Amen?
Amen.
And I explained that at the end of the chapter. What else?
Pharaoh agreed to Joseph's request. Quote, Go and bury your father as you promised him, as you said. Unquote. So Joseph went with a great number of Pharaoh's counselors and advisers, all the senior officers of Egypt. Joseph took his brothers and the entire household of Jacob, but they left their little children and flocks and herds in the land of Goshen. King James Version, verse 9. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel-Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. Commentary, verse 9 through 12. So a great number of chariots, cavalry, and people accompanied Joseph. When they arrived at the threshing floor of Atad, near the Jordan River, they held a very great and solemn funeral, with a seven-day period of mourning for Joseph's father. The local residents, the Canaanites, renamed the place Abel Mizraim, for they said, quote, "This is a place of very deep mourning for these Egyptians," unquote. So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. King James Version, verse 13. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite, before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. Commentary, verse 13 through 14. They carried his body to the land of Canaan, and buried it there in the cave of Machpelah. This is the cave that Abraham had bought for a permanent burial place in the field of Ephron the Hittite, near Mamre. Joseph reassures his brothers. Then Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's funeral. King James Version, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Commentary, verse 15 through 22. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became afraid. Quote, "Now Joseph will pay us back for all the evil we did to him," they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. Quote, "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, Forgive your brothers for their great evil they did to you." Unquote. "So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive us." Unquote. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and bowed low before him. Quote, "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph told them, quote, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God to judge and punish you? As far as I am concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to the high position I have today, so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. Indeed, I myself will take care of you and your families." Unquote. And he spoke very kindly to them, reassuring them. The death of Joseph. So Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. Joseph was 110 years old when he died. King James Version, verse 23. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Commentary, verse 23 through 26. He lived to see 3 generations of descendants of his son Ephraim, and the children of Manasseh's son Machir, who were treated as if they were his own. Quote, soon I will die, Joseph told his brothers, but God will surely come for you to lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he vowed to give to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unquote. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, quote, when God comes to lead us back to Canaan, you must take my body back with you. Unquote. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years old. They embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt.
Okay, that was the last verse of chapter 50, the last chapter of the book of Genesis, and now here's some commentary.
50, verse 15 through 21. When Jacob died, Joseph's brothers feared that he would take revenge for their past differences, wickedness that they had done against him. They thought Joseph had spared them only for the sake of their father Jacob. But they discovered that Joseph's forgiveness was genuine and complete, with no ulterior motives, no strings attached. Joseph had already granted his brothers complete forgiveness. His brothers couldn't believe it, and thus had not yet received it. They had needlessly lived in fear of a coming punishment. God has his forgiveness that is just as complete, even more so. But we need to believe it and then receive it. Only then can we experience the freedom, the power of God that frees us from having to commit sin.
Yes, once we're forgiven for sin, we ought to be happy that our slate is clear and that we have the power now to keep the commandments and keep our slate clear so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven, right?
Yeah.
Now, the law is for the lawless, and if you're born again, you're not a sinner anymore, well, then you obey the law. You don't do anything to offend the law. Once you break the law, then the law is going to punish you, and the punishment for sinners is eternity in hell and the lake of fire. Then what else?
50, verse 2 and 3, quote, then Joseph told his morticians to embalm the body. The embalming process took 40 days, and there was a period of national mourning for 70 days. Unquote. The embalmers in Egypt had a profession, and they kept it secret. They knew their trade well, as we witness by the different mummies still preserved after several thousand years. The process was lengthy, costly, requiring as many as 40 days. 70 days of mourning was the Egyptian custom, especially for people of stature like Joseph, Jacob, and the Pharaoh, of course. 50, verse 4. Quote, when the period of mourning was over, Joseph approached Pharaoh's advisors and asked them to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. Joseph was likely considered unfit to approach Pharaoh because of his contact with the dead. He had to request the household of Pharaoh to intercede for him so he could keep his promise to Jacob, his father. Chapter 47, verse 29 through 31. Quote, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me, and he sware unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Unquote. Chapter 50, verse 5. Quote, he told them, quote, tell Pharaoh that my father made me swear an oath. He said to me, I'm about to die. Take my body back to the land of Canaan and bury me in our family's burial cave. Now I need to go and bury my father. After his burial is complete, I will return without delay. Unquote. Quote, dug, unquote, means prepared, made ready, or bought. You can see that in chapter 47, verse 30, and chapter 50, verse 7 through 9. 47, verse 30, quote, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said, unquote. 50, verse 7 through 9, quote, so Joseph went, and with a great number of Pharaoh's counselors and advisors, all the senior officers of Egypt. Joseph took his brothers and the entire household of Jacob, but they left their little children and flocks and herds in the land of Goshen. So a great number of chariots, cavalry, and people accompanied Joseph, unquote. The impressive funeral procession demonstrated Egypt's love for Joseph. The next time Israel leaves, it will not be with Egyptian honor.
No, that's when they were very angry at them for leaving. Amen.
Amen.
When Moses took them out several hundred years later. Anybody else?
50 verse 10, quote, when they arrived at the threshing floor of Atad near the Jordan River, they held a very great and solemn funeral, with a seven-day period of mourning for Joseph's father, unquote. A threshing floor was a flat surface near a village, ideal for a stopping place beyond the Jordan. Why the lamentation was held across the river is sort of uncertain, unknown through the scriptures, at this point for me anyway. There was also no need to travel so far out of the way, unless a wide detour was mandatory because the Philistines presented a hostile course. Chapter 50, verse 13. Quote, they carried his body to the land of Canaan and buried it there in the cave of Machpelah. This is the cave that Abraham had bought for a permanent burial place in the field of Ephron the Hittite near Mamre. Unquote. Chapter 23, verse 4 through 20, and chapter 50, verse 15 through 18. Joseph's brothers were once again terrified of him. They sent messengers. Those who fear retribution first send influential friends to intercede, perhaps even sending them some sort of gift or something. 50, verse 25 through 26. Quote, then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, quote, when God comes to lead us back to Canaan, you must take my body back with you, unquote. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years old. They embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt, unquote. It was Moses who brought Joseph's body out of Egypt many years later, Exodus 13:19. Quote, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Unquote. Yet Joshua did not bury him with the patriarchs at Hebron. Rather, Joseph was buried in the field Jacob had bought at Shechem, Genesis 33:19, Joshua 24:32. Genesis 33:19, quote, and he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Joshua 24:32, quote, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Unquote. So the book of Genesis concludes on a sober note, yet with a restrained hope that looks down in years for God's deliverance. Here are some keys to generous living. The lives of the patriarchs richly illustrate that encounters with God invariably result in men and women who are generous with God and with others. Later codified in the law, tithing, giving a tenth part, and in the New Testament, giving everything we have, began as an act in the beginning of faithful devotion to God, to acknowledge that He alone is our resource. Now Joseph was faithful to a vision. His life proves that vision restrains people from sin. That's what visions do. Quote, without a vision, the people perish. Unquote, Proverbs 29:18. Because he believed what God had showed him, he remained steadfast, faithful, and loyal in all his ways, especially with all his relationships, especially with God. Individuals who are faithful to God's vision will enjoy favor with him and with others, and will succeed in their endeavors in the end. They will realize their vision, experiencing vindication in spite of any adversity or opposition they may have faced. That was the book of Genesis. Praise the Lord.
That was the 50th chapter of Genesis, and continue thinking about the Lord all day. That's the best way to stand one day at a time. Amen. Is to just think about the Lord all day long and the testimonies that you've heard in this book. And I believe the Lord has me doing Exodus next. So I'll be doing chapter 1 tonight, Lord willing. Praise the Lord. God bless you till then.